This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yeah. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, baby, it's me, it's you, it's Chris, it's Ray, it's everybody. It's Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. I got a punky Brewster on the other side bopping around, hitting his head off the rafters, and we're just bouncing in the studio as well. So, glad you can join us today. How are you, Chris?
I felt better before the song. You were playing that at the wrong speed.
No, that's the correct speed. Wow. Yeah, we're trying to just reinvigorate ourselves and get a little life going here because it's, the weather sure isn't helping us, so we want to make sure we can do it some other way.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. The combination of the weather and daylight saving time. I woke up this morning going, oh, look, I'm up early. And, of course, my eight-year-old reminds me that I'm not up early.
Right.
It's an hour later, Dad.
So true. So true.
And she has that rasp in her voice, too, which is even more welcoming in the morning. So, yeah, it's been a fun week. It has been a joyous event this week. I actually, I've come to realize I find that you can use your automotive talents in many different places.
Yeah.
And it's good to be an automotive guy because you always can draw from that talent with whatever you do. Like, I'm in the process of restoring a bathroom.
Yeah.
And I am literally using my keen automotive sense to do a room in a restoration mode, right? That get the restoration mode is being applied to a bathroom.
Uh-huh.
So and here's what I had to use. I actually had to use Bondo.
Okay. You talked about that when you were working on the garage door, I think, right? Or there was some door you...
I've been using Bondo on... Yeah. I could almost eat this stuff. I've been using Bondo on everything.
Right. It was another door. It was a door that you were working on to use Bondo. But yeah, okay.
And of course, the tile wall had one of those senior hand grips on it. Now, I am one of these superstitious people that things like that have to go.
Okay.
Get rid of them. Yeah, I don't want them.
They got to come back. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'm prolonging that agony as much as I can.
Yeah.
But they got to go. Right now, they have to go.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah, exactly. There have been a couple of times where my back went out when I certainly needed them.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, of course, you take them off. And now you have holes in the tile.
Yes.
And I'm trying very hard not to replace the tile.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm going to try and do this.
What color is the tile?
That's why
I'm
trying.
Is it that salmon color with the black border?
Yes.
How did I know?
It actually is.
How did I know?
And I'm going to take the next step. Yeah, how did you know, by the way?
I had the same colored tiles in my bathroom. The houses were probably built around the same time, and everybody used the same stuff.
I think you're right, because this house was built in 1951.
Yeah, mine was 53.
Yeah.
Same stuff. And it was like almost 3 inches thick when I took it off the, you know, the between the, cement and all sorts of crap. I don't know.
This is the reason why, because I'm thinking to myself, I don't feel like tearing all these tiles down just to put up new the exact same tiles, only a different color.
Right.
I'm just gonna go white. Okay. I'm just gonna make them white.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to attempt to paint porcelain tile.
Oh wow.
I'm gonna attempt it. I'm not saying I'm gonna be successful.
What's your method to make the paint stick?
Ah. Use the tub and tile paint.
There is special paint for it. Okay.
There is special paint for it. All so right. I'm in the process. This is now, I'm now experimenting with paint. You know how you experiment with paint on a fender?
Sure.
Like, you would spray it and go, okay, try this, try that, whatever. But you use a fender. I'm using a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially the wall behind the door.
Right.
That's my experimenting wall.
I got you.
So this is what I'm doing. So I'm working with different paints and different techniques, and everything has to be almost like brewery clean. Everything has to be super duper spotless clean.
Right.
Because you can't have silicone on it, just like if you were painting on a fender. You can't have any sort of silicone base because you're going to get a fisheye or you're going to get some sort of distortion in the paint. It's the same thing with what I'm doing now. And it is amazing how the rules are the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're painting. The rules are all the same. The only thing is I'm not going to spray. If there was no one in the house, I would spray.
Are you going to use Prepsol first and degreaser?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to use a TSP.
Okay.
It's called. All right. Yeah, it's a cleaner. It's a box cleaner. I got it around here somewhere. But yeah, I do have to use that. So it's the same procedures for prepping your metal or prepping your porcelain in this case and then applying. So I'm in the process of working on it now, and to let you know, I haven't gotten any results that I could I could totally claim a result. Right now I have a primer on the
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one of the paints has a primer and the other one is like a two stage.
Sure.
And one of them is a single stage. I haven't used the single stage yet. I'm afraid to.
Right.
So just I think you can't go wrong with primer.
Right, right.
You can't mess that up. So, yeah, so I'm in the process. But in the meantime, I have holes because of those grips, those handles.
Right.
I have holes in the tile. So I'm actually using Bondo. But now I have to figure out if the paint I'm using is going to stick to the Bondo.
Yeah, I follow you. Well, you're going to prime over that, too.
Exactly. So
you know what I would do? So, I would do what carpenters do and what I have a picture. We could... We'll put it on the website of a looks like an old mayonnaise jar and a piece of tape on it is labeled Bondo dust. And I thought that was just Andy Perillo's weirdo thing, but I found out, no, my friend TJ said the same thing. Yeah, body men save Bondo dust because they'll use it and mix it in with the Bondo to get a better, you know, a better gripping surface.
It's almost like a cement concrete technique where they throw rocks in there.
Right.
Yeah, it actually ties it together. I do that with fiberglass.
All right, we have a master on the phone who's going to tell us about this. So let's go to the phones and the fun and say hi. You're out the Motor Mouths.
Imran.
Christian, how are you? I know you know Imran, of course. Yes.
What's up, brother?
What's up? My battery might die, so if I get cut off.
Yeah.
I need TSP.
Yeah, right?
Chris, is it the phosphate-free or is it the real stuff?
Oh, no, I think it's the phosphate-free. I have
yeah,
to take
it's
got to
be
box.
New school,
I don't think it's the real stuff.
I can't get the real stuff anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an old box. Don't get me wrong, Christian, but I
guess it's a garage sale. I'm telling you. It's elusive.
What was that again? I missed that.
The TSP, the real stuff with the phosphate. Ask for people at garage sales, if they have any on an old shelf or something, you know.
Well, when you go to the garage sale, you have to look past the tables of knickknacks.
Yes.
And
I go right past the tables, I'm right in there.
And look in the shelves, that was the best part of being a kid when you went into an old garage. They had that smell still, that old wood.
How about this? I used to do garage doors.
Okay. Oh, wow.
For a living, like for a little while with Don Croker.
Right.
And me and him would get in these garages in Queens, and we were buying bikes and all sorts of stuff from people, you know.
Side shaft, lawn mowers, the whole bit.
Anything. Yeah, we've seen it all. That's one of the perks of doing garage doors, unless it's a brand new construction, which is nice because then you're just going in and putting a door up, not one down and putting a new one up, you know.
I just got a memo from one of our buddies from Pirate Pool. It says Ace Hardware still sells the real stuff, so...
Really?
No, where? Yeah. On Long Island? I don't know about that.
Well, he's in Long Island. Yeah, he's based in our part of town, so yeah.
All right, on the upper side band, let me know that information. We can't have this discussion right now.
Right.
You know, on the air.
Hey, and on the other hand, Christian, I want to ask you. I know we spoke about this years ago, and you gave me the information, and I probably filed it. And now I can't find it, but I want to send out my dosimeter and my Geiger counter to be calibrated. And I know you know a place in New York.
Yeah.
I need you to send me the information.
No,
again,
it's
please.
In Texas. It's in Texas.
Oh, Texas. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, K4I or something like that. Yeah, those guys are great.
If you find the info and you can send it to me, I'd appreciate it.
I'll send it to you later. Definitely.
You.
They hook it up.
Okay.
They're good people. And they're probably busy as heck right now.
Yes. Well, I'm not in a rush, so I'll just put it in their queue.
Yeah, it's funny. I took my meters up to, I went up to Garvey's Point. We were playing around with the meters because they supposedly had a dinosaur bone that was a little hot. So we were checking that out and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, good old Garvey's Point, man. I tell you, I made a pilgrimage, and when I went up there, the place hasn't changed. And $5 to get in, $3 for the kids. And it's Garvey's Point, man. It's still the same museum.
So how did the bone check out?
They didn't dig that out. They had some other rocks I was checking out, but they said it's pretty. They were kind of busy at the moment because there was a big thing going on that day.
Right.
But it's still Garvey's Point. It's still the same old place. Pretty cool. I haven't been there in so long. I took Ava up there.
Yeah.
So I got her a little gem collection going.
Great.
Stuff, you know.
Well, you've been busy with syrup, I know. Like I tell you, every time I see the liquid gold, I'm like, oh, man, I want pancakes.
So speaking of that, actually, I figured out I finally had to make the move and do the diatomaceous earth with it. And triple filter.
Okay.
It's the only way I could get it to clear up, I'm telling you. And I just pulled out some reserve from 2018 and 2017, and I refinished the syrup.
Ah.
And I filtered it with the diatomaceous, and I was able to save it.
You know, that's a micro polish. That you know, of course, I use a DE filter on my pool, but when I was into my fish tanks and all, I bought a separate DE filter that would just do, it was like a micro polish, and I tell you, that water was crystal clear.
Yeah, it works, man.
Yeah.
It, finally, I had them. I mean, all these years, I've been going nuts. I'm into all the real stuff now because I ordered the filters. I bought the pan. I got the evaporator pan now. That's a huge – took my evaporation down to half the time now.
And, of course, for people who don't know, we're talking about making maple syrup. Christian actually taps the trees in his yard and makes real maple syrup. So, you talk
it's
about
–
Christian, talk about car guys doing other things. Here we go. Christian's the master at that stuff.
Exactly.
You know,
here
we go.
It's true.
This show, here we go from everything from – cars to Bondo on bathroom holes in the tile, which will work.
Right.
Been there, done that. I mean, Bondo is definitely coming. My camper, when Allison was doing the floors, filling the holes, and, you know, Bondo it up.
Yeah.
Bondo's, it's key. It's a very versatile stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's true. It is true.
Yeah.
Like Ray says, I used it on a door. I had to fill in the holes on a metal door. And I'm like, I'm not going to, what can you possibly use but Bondo?
But if you're going to paint the tile, I'm sure there's automotive paints that would stick.
You know, it's funny, Christian. I was thinking of that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of that, but I figured let's try the stuff that is advertised as the stuff that will work before I
test it first. But, yeah. You got to deglaze it. That's the thing.
Let me tell you, try and deglaze a piece of porcelain tile is crazy.
DA 80 grit. I don't know.
I would say a DA. No, a DA with the right paper. That's what I was calling about. I said I would just DA it.
Right.
Go nuts. Tape off everything like you're shooting a car and spray the whole bathroom with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Palm sander with like 90 grit.
Okay.
On
it. Same idea.
Wouldn't bust it.
It's the paper. You have to get the right paper.
I guess,
McMaster. You have to go to like McMaster and choose what oxides you got to use. If oxide will break it down, I don't know.
A good silicon carbide paper, something like that would be
Yeah, I know there's some rock and minerals up at Garvey's Point that will scratch that up real good.
Yeah, right, right.
You were scratching glass with certain rocks, so I'm trying to say, I think the amethyst would do it.
Amethyst, wow.
Not that they have an amethyst sanding pad, but if they did, hey.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like I was cleaning my fireplace glass on my fireplace yesterday, and I used bronze wool.
I use bronze wool for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, bronze wool is the best.
Good to know.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Some secrets today, man.
Where did you find the bronze wool? Where was that available?
That's key. Or any hardware store.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But some hardware stores would be like, what?
Right.
So you gotta go to, it's based off of marine. It's really used to clean nickel and stainless on boats. That's really what it's for.
Okay.
Without scratching, I'm assuming.
Yes. So I learned about bronze wool being a kid working for Thorbecker when he was doing all the chrome plating.
Right.
Because it won't scratch chrome.
Okay, good to know.
Catch my drift? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's already been known, but like the bicycle guys use it because with the vintage bicycles, there's companies that sell bronze wool on a stick so you can clean chrome wheels.
Oh, wow.
But bronze
wool. It's funny. Christian, I'm online now. I just typed in bronze wool, and the same company that makes the tile paint, the company's called Homax,
yeah,
that makes the gloss tile paint, also produces bronze wool.
Wow.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, bronze wool is
like the
very,
way they went full circle.
With all cars, any old bikes, especially with the bikes, bronze wool is key.
I'm going to have to pick
someone. As soon as someone's selling a bike and they hit it with steel wool, it's ruined.
Right.
You hit it with the bronze. If you get a virgin chrome, rusted up chrome, you know, obviously the pitting will always be there. But I found little WD-40 with the bronze wool helps lubricate the pad just so that it'll kind of break the chrome down. Not the chrome, the rust down a little bit.
Yeah.
I've been recently using Metal Rescue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of gas tanks. I just did a Suzuki T500 tank, and I tell you what, this stuff will take. It's expensive, but you can reuse it. I filled the whole tank right up to the top. This tank was so bad.
Uh huh.
24 hours, I had it down to bare metal.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's vinegar based. I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
But I know vinegar will do the same thing.
It sure does.
Sometimes it doesn't. It depends on the fuel.
Right.
I'm finding the ethanol fuels in the vinegar doesn't really jive.
Naturally.
Anyway, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Like, good stuff.
I don't want to get into the discussion about fuel right now.
That's going to take us on a whole other path. You're right. But
yeah, no, we're not going there. I got to retract here with Bondo. I wish Bondo to smell right now. The smell is just hitting me.
phenolic.
Yeah, there you go. Spell it, but don't even ask.
There you go. Oh, that's
but,
great.
The gas tank restoration thing has been something that's been coming up to the situation where everyone digging out their old motorcycles.
And that's
again,
the thing.
Here we are.
Yeah, and everybody left them with fuel in the tank, and they rusted. And not even the fuel, because just the condensation that builds up in the tank, you know, sitting in a garage or a shed or whatever, you know, with the heating and cooling cycles. I tell people, if you're going to store it, pop the gas cap up. You know, let air circulate, you know, so you don't build that condensation.
It's tough, though. Like, this tank was sealed and it rusted out really bad, but on top of everything, it also rusted some holes in it, too.
Yeah.
So, normally, I would like to just strip the rust out of the tank and then just coat the inside of the tank with a bit of two-stroke oil and fuel and let that just sit in there as storage. But that's why favorites to add to the fuel.
We lost the last part of that after two-stroke oil and fuel.
Oh, coat the oil. Sorry. Yeah. You got that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might.
The phone's, your phone's dropping out.
Yeah, it's my battery.
Yeah.
I might lose you.
Yeah.
So, anyway, in that case, we'll have a discussion again.
Excellent.
All right.
All right, Christian. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the
Sorry, guys. I kind of called up on a low battery. I was just looking for that ESP. Kind of cracking out for that.
Got it.
Stuff. If anyone here heard me.
Yes. Go to Ace.
All right,
Christian.
Thanks, Christian. Always good news.
All right. Yeah, you know, you see that's the beauty of this, of a show like this. You put something out and you get answers back right away. Paul had said the stuff is still legal for sale in small uses, in small doses.
Got it.
So I guess you couldn't buy a 55-gallon drum of it, but you can buy a little pint tub, you know.
Right, so you need about 7 pint tubs to do one wall type of thing.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Is that stuff a powder, or is that a what consistency?
I have it in a powder form.
Because I've never used it, so I'm not familiar with it.
I have used it in
you mix it with water? Is that what you do? You make like a grout kind of thing out of it. Okay.
Yeah, we've used it to clean walls. Usually it's after taking like wallpaper down, things like that. We use that to clean the wall, get most of the glue off it.
Yeah.
Before you can prep it, sand it, and paint it.
Yeah.
So, and when I tell you every single wall in this house had wallpaper on it, every single wall, there was no paint on this house. It was all wallpaper. I was literally amazed at how much wallpaper you could throw away.
So I'll tell you what, we've all gone through that, but so we don't start getting cards and letters about this being an automotive show, not the house show. I want to throw something out to you. I had the thought the other day. I was driving to work, and it was rain yesterday, and it was rainy, and you know, the roads were. Yeah. You don't know if it's going to be compromised. There could be some slippery spots.
Miserable day yesterday, especially up here too.
Well, and I noticed a guy. You know, I was kind of sane in the middle lane, and I noticed a couple guys doing the strafing thing. So it was very light traffic on a Saturday morning in newer late model cars, and. I had this thought, and I want to put it out to you or the audience, who can call us at 516-572-7440. Have you ever had a car that you drove regularly that, like, gave you a feeling of superiority on the road, or of invincibility, or of which fostered some arrogance, or high
in the
level
driveway now, right?
or high level of confidence on
it's
the
in
road.
The driveway now, right?
It is? Okay, so you do have one like that. Okay.
Yes. I think that is a major selling point in any vehicle. It should give you a certain amount of confidence, but not overindulge. It's still a vehicle, and they still slide on ice. I mean,
right.
I love the way some automotive commercials and advertisements talk about how...
That's the worst.
How fantastic they are in the snow, and how you have the utmost confidence.
Right.
And yeah, like you say, it turns into you're in a weather situation on the road that you know you should be taking it easy. And there are these individuals that actually believe in the advertising and they're screaming through like the road was dry.
I'll tell you, I know that when I had, my Mazda 3, happened to be a very, very road stable car. It was very, very good on the road. You know, it came with Goodyear RSA tires, which were very good. And I replaced, of course, with 4 Falcon tires because I just like those Falcon tires. They are so Falcon good.
You do that and I get cold.
Yeah.
I don't even want to tell you where I get cold.
But I even eclipsed that, and I eclipsed that when I put 4 dedicated snow tires on the car. And
right.
This was a topic on this show for many years, and it was very true. And that's what made me think of this yesterday when I watched these other drivers strafing around. In that car with those snow tires, I had absolute confidence and no fear that I would get through anything except for like a major drift that I couldn't, draft over. And I wonder if these people are feeling it, like you said, because they actually know their car can do it, or are they buying the hype and just assuming they can do it?
I would think they're buying the hype, truthfully. But what I like the fact that your confidence and security would also venture further into saying that when they spin out in front of you, that you're able to stop.
Or motor through it. That happened to me once, many years ago. I was driving 71 Riviera.
I like this story, and it's worth repeating. Yes, please, say it again.
I was coming home down the parkway. I left work, and it just started that snowy, wintry mix. So it was changeable. It was a little bit of rain, a little bit of snow. So it was kind of slippery. So I'm in the
and, of course, you were driving a vehicle that was perfectly comfortable in snowy weather.
4,800 pounds, 5,000 pounds of Buick. I'm in the middle lane. And there were cars in the right and left lane. Not heavy traffic. It was light because it was in the afternoon. And it ended up being a woman driver. Not that really matters. from the right lane. I don't know what happened to make her, maybe she was going to change lanes, lost control and slid across my path in the middle lane to the left where there's a jersey barrier. And in that half of a second, I said, stay put. Because your reaction is to go away or go the opposite direction.
Right.
And I guess I was thinking Days of Thunder. Just, you know, because there was stuff up on the road now. There was, like, you know, snow flying. She hit the barrier and caromed back across all three lanes to the right. And as she did, I drove right past. And I think another car on the left lost control, too. I think they might have crossed, and I went right through the middle of them because I stayed. Wow. If I had gone to any other lane, I would have been right. There would have been an accident. But I stayed in the middle and drove. Literally, they crossed. I went right through them, and I said, phew, rubbing is racing, man. It's like, it was like Days of Thunder. Just head for the wreck and go through, and you'll be okay.
Because they're going off in different directions because
yes.
of basically inertia. And obviously, if you're going to overcorrect to try and get away from them, what's the tendency that will happen? You, too, may lose control.
Well,
so you did the right thing.
Speaking of losing control and heading for the wreck, and here we go. It's just about the bottom of the hour. Do we have an honor group of the hour that people are going to love to watch on YouTube? Because that does, they are getting a lot of traction. People are like, on Facebook, people love watching those darn things.
They love watching the guaranteed to make you say, well, we Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour.
That's
well,
right.
We're not disappointing this time.
Right.
Today, Ray, the Motor Mouth Radio on the group of the hour, if you have a hand tool in your toolbox that you built yourself,
oh.
Do you have a bent screwdriver that performs one task and one task only? Do you have a sawed-off box wrench that can access one hard-to-get bolt in your vehicle? Do you have a series of brackets and threaded rods that either hold something down or spread something out? Is there a dirty block of wood that fits in the perfect spot? Well, if you have something welded to a bent butter knife and your wife is still bent at you because of it, and it's sitting in your toolbox that was proudly home-built, then you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Very good. And you know what? We've done shows on that where we talked about our homemade tools. Christian, our last caller, was one of the people who has shared a lot of his homemade tools. We all have them. You know, I have a drawer kind of full of them. It's cool stuff.
Right down to the bent butter knife, yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what else is homemade and really good to have. It's a show on this station called Shades of New Jazz. And it's on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. You missed it. But this is our good friend Greg Bigelow. And I tell you, he is one cool dude. This guy is a cool cat. He knows his jazz. Just like Christian knows his chemicals and his stuff. Yeah. Greg Bigelow, he knows and plays the latest and greatest in the world of jazz, featuring new and recent releases in the format. And he is the man. So with that, we will take our break. And we're going to we'll come back. We'll take care of a little bit of business, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. It's cold outside, so let's take a trip. We'll maybe like visit the big ball in the sky, the sun, where it's a little warm, and we'll see if we can get warmed up. And we'll play a couple spots, and we'll be back in a minute. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer from Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car. I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Vote him out!
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going. Good show as usual.
Vote him out!
You guys are trouble. I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're indifferent because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Vote him out!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've
ever done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
You, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Still alive, 6 to 8 years still around, and if you follow them,
yes, and if you follow these guys, you might be walking on the sun, too. That'll warm us up today. It's a little chilly outside. We're all fighting the cold temps and the snow and all the bomb-nados and all that crazy crap, but we'll get through it. And you can get to us by calling 516-572-7440, and we will be happy to take your calls and talk to you about any car concerns. You can also follow us on social media. We're Motormouth Radio on the web, on Facebook, and on Twitter, and on Instagram. We're Joe's favorite, real_ Motormouth Radio, and
yes.
we do have a caller. So let's push the buttons, go to the phones, and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning, Chris and Ray. It's Cliff. How are you?
What's happening, Cliff?
Hey, what's up, Cliff?
Hey, so listening to your homemade tool story, and I have a tool. I don't know, you probably know the name of it, but back then I didn't know how to get one or where it was. Years back when I had the 57 Chevy, I had to drop the gas tank to put a new gas tank in. And then where the sender unit mounts to the top, they're not like torque screws. They're like these.
It's called a clutch head.
Is that what it is?
It looks like a butterfly, right? Looks like a butterfly.
Almost like a little rectangle, sort of.
Like a figure eight.
If you were to also look at the emergency brake handle that's under the dash, it's screwed up. It's got two clutch head screws. I have a set of those drivers, and I think I've used them twice. That's about
it. Oh, my God. I think I filed. I went to a friend's shop, and we went on his grinding machine, and we took like three or four cheap screwdrivers and made all different variations of grinding them down until we got something to work.
Sure.
And then I didn't know what they were called back then or even what that tool was, and we got it open. And, of course, to make the story even funnier. So I put the place sends the new gas tank, but of course I forget to order the gasket for the sender. So my buddy goes, we'll make our own gasket, you know. So we make the old cutout gasket, you know, put it together, put everything back up, and of course every time you fill the tank to the top, it would leak out the top. So again, you know, drop the tank again, second time for this like 90-cent gasket, you know.
Right.
That I should have ordered to the beginning, but, you know, you have your friend's lift tied up, and you got it up there, and now you got to, you know, mail out for that gasket at the time, and it was something the local stores didn't have, and, you know, ordered everything through whatever that catalog was. But that reminded me. I haven't thought of that for a lot of years, and you made me laugh when you spoke about the tools. People are making up their own tools.
Well, you're right, Cliff, and something like a clutch head screw is something that is one of the hardest ones to improvise with because of the way, I mean, just anybody who's listening that doesn't know what it is, look it up. Just Google it, and I'm sure you'll see an image of it. Chris, is that? Can you do that? Can you see if I'm right on that? That's where I know it's called.
I think you're right. But that's what it looks like. It looks like a very long, thin figure eight in the place of where a Phillips head would be or where a slot would be on the screw.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would take it.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, those are the days before the internet and just little things that you look things up, make it so much easier. I looked something up the other day talking about a Corvette hood that didn't line up in the back. And I went on some Corvette forum and some guy made up his own little, on a lathe, this stopper that you put down and you could push down so you don't damage the hood so you can figure out how to adjust it. And then I'm reading further in the thread and the guy says, since I've made that up for myself, he goes, I've actually turned out about 300 of them.
Yeah.
Sold 300 of them on the internet.
You know, I'll tell you another common place you find clutch head screws, and it's on a Holley 4-barrel, a 4160 that has a rear metering plate instead of a block, and they use like 4 clutch head screws in there, but they're a lot smaller than what you'd find on the gas tank.
And openings on all the different clutch heads different sizes too, or is it just like one standard?
Well, yeah, just like a Torx. You get
like a Torx set.
All different sizes, correct. What do you find, Chris?
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny, Cliff. You mentioned a 57 Chevy. I have a clutch head screwdriver that my old man gave to me, and it was almost like he's handing me the Holy Grail. He says, you got to keep this screwdriver. Anytime you're working on a 57 Chevy, this is the screwdriver you need. I swear to you. It was that.
That's
what he told me. And I still have that screwdriver. Never touched a 57 Chevy since I've owned it.
Right.
But I have that screwdriver.
Well, like I said,
I should send it to you.
Like I said, depending on size, if you worked on Holley carburetors for those rear plates on the 4160, it's a smaller version of it. And like I said, it's the one tool you really can't make something fit easily. It's a really, and I got to look that. I know I looked that up years ago, the history of it, because I tell you, now you want to talk about being a real geek. I've actually spent time, looking into the history of different hardware. And I know, right? I know, go on.
I know you said that's on the carburetors, on some of the emergency brake releases or something. Do you think it was some sort of like safety thing, almost like when they have those one-way screws where they don't want people to tamper with it? Do you think it was like a sort of made to be almost tamper-proof to the average guy that wasn't maybe a service technician or something like that?
The applications that I know aren't something that you'd have to be aware of, typically aware of for safety. And the carburetor, you have to take the fuel bowl off to find those screws, so they're not sitting out in the open. They're inside. And on the carburetor, the interesting thing is if you pull the screw out, it's a flathead screw, so it's got a tapered seat to fit into a recess, and on that tapered seat of the screw, it's serrated to actually bite. So, I mean, it is. I mean, they don't want them falling out, obviously, in the carburetor. So I don't know, but you know what? I'll look. I'll do some research on clutch heads.
Like I said, we used like 3 cheap screwdrivers and ground them every different way until we got one that kind of got it to loosen up and probably strip them a little bit, but we got job done. But you're right, like having that tool like Chris had would have been like, saved us an hour.
Well, if you had the right size, because they do come in, like I said, I have a set of them. I have, probably like a set.
Yeah, that's the reason. It's the reason why I have a set of them is exactly what Ray was saying. It's because of that 4160 Holley carb that I have on the top of the Chrysler. So I needed a set of those things because I didn't know which size it was. So that's the reason why I have them too.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of what you were doing, Cliff. I was going to start mutilating some old cheap screwdrivers to get that out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It brought back good memories, guys.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, Cliff. Thanks for the call, brother.
Hey, take care. Great show as usual.
All right.
Look forward to Sundays. Safe. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We have another call. So let's go back to the phones and talk to our caller. What's up, caller?
Hey, Ray. John W.
Hey, Johnny. What's
Hello,
happening?
Chris.
Hey, John.
Hey, Ray. I'm laughing. That's too funny. I never heard of that head of a screw, but I'm standing here listening to it, and I go, I've got a driver that I've had since I was in my teens, which is a long time ago. How many people out there have a reed print screwdriver?
A reed print?
Yeah, reed prints, like not princess.
Oh, is that print. A brand? Is that like a tool?
No, it's a title. Look it up. Oh. I've had one that came with my original Craftsman screwdrivers that I bought when I was probably 14.
Wow.
And I've kept it with me all these years. I've never encountered a Reed Prince screw head, but it was a competitor to Phillips.
Wow.
Really?
So, like, the Phillips, you have number one, number two, number three.
Mm-hmm.
The Reed Prince was a similar design, except one size fit all.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never.
It's a pointier Phillips head.
I may have one. I mean, a lot of people also have a Phillips head in their kit that's it's posi drive, which GM was using on all the dashes back in the 80s. That's another one that's, and it fits so much better, but it doesn't really work well in a regular Phillips head or vice versa.
You look Reed Prince. You'll be surprised. But I've had it, and I said, why am I keeping this in my box? And I know as soon as I get rid of it, I'll probably come across one. But
John, you're right. It's called a Reed and Prince screwdriver.
That's
and
it, Chris, one, yes.
Yes, and it's more tapered than a Phillips head screwdriver.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what? While we're talking about tools, I wasn't going to mention this, but now I will. I watched a lot of YouTube videos, and one of the ones that fell into my feed was about tools, and I watched electrical stuff and tool stuff. So there was a guy showing the right tool to use to mount a screw in an outlet. And he says, everybody uses either a Phillips head or a straight slot screw. And if you look at the screw on an outlet, it's kind of a Phillips head pattern with an elongated straight slot. And he says, both of these are the wrong tool to use. And I'll show you. And I was like, okay, now you got my attention. For 5 minutes, you got me bought and sold. And what he showed was there was a driver, and I think it's a Milwaukee makes it. I forget the name of it now.
I saw the same video. Okay. I'm laughing.
I wrote it down. I said, damn, I got, and it was like two of them that were available. Yep. Milwaukee and somebody else. One of them was in a unit bit set, but I'm going to buy that damn Milwaukee screwdriver because he said it's almost like more like a squarer drive. I said, I've been doing electrical work for 45, 50, almost 50 years. And I had no idea. So
I saw the same video. It's like a cross between, it's like a Phillips went out for a date with a slotted.
Right.
I'm looking at it says a Milwaukee ECX screwdriver.
Yeah, I was going to say THX, right? So that's, of course, my memory isn't so great, but yeah, ECX, right. And he says, like, bits. The home center sell them, it's about $20 or so. And he says, obviously anybody who's dedicated or in a trade will have it. I mean, I went out years ago and I actually bought a set of, they're red. I don't know if they're Milwaukee, but it's a red straight and Phillips screwdriver, but it's fully plastic. So like you can't short it out. It's got a metal bit, but the body and handle is plastic. So I use that for electrical work.
But at least that's useful. I've been staring at this Reed Prince for 40 years or more, and I'm like, what the hell am I ever going to use this thing for?
I know, John. Isn't that something? Well, that if you get rid of it, then next week there's going to be a screw. I was taking apart a piece of a wall unit cabinet that I've had since the 80s. We bought it back in 84. And now I was finally getting rid of it in the basement to make room for some shelving. And all of this, it was all put together with these, I thought it was a Torx screw. And I had now through Matt Goldman Bryan, I got all these great little bit sets and also, I'm set now. No, nothing's going to stump me. Oh yeah, it wasn't Torx. It was almost like a double square. But I'm like, I thought the double square was kind of new. Now I know I bought this thing in 84. So I'm thinking, so I had to use a square bit that kind of fit, kind of didn't. I was like, damn, I still don't have the right freaking bit. what are you going to do?
You want to get a great collection of tools. I work on a lot of two-stroke weed whackers, blowers. There's like a bajillion different carburetor adjusting screws.
Yes.
That they make on Pac-Man, double D's, has two meanings now.
Those make you smile, right, John?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. too funny. But yeah, I'm sure that there's probably an equal amount of people that will call in and say, yeah, I bought this tool or it came in a kit. And what's it for?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyhow, have a great day, guys. Always a pleasure listening to you.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure
talking
to you.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Talk later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, we're getting information from all over the place about this stuff. People are weighing in on it about being used in the military. And yeah, the conveyance here is that definitely the old Craftsman sets had it. And I had old Craftsman sets, probably threw the damn thing out because it didn't fit anything. Who knows?
Right. Well, it's funny to hear you say that you would throw out a tool. I doubt very highly that that would be the case.
Yeah.
Unless it was bent or fractured or melted or...
You mean except for the ones that I bent or fractured or melted on purpose.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's funny because you talk about trying to build that type of screw, Reed Prince, the one that Cliff was talking about, the clutch head,
yeah.
Trying to rebuild it. I've actually taken an Allen wrench and made a Torx out of it.
Oh wow!
And it worked questionably, but I was able to do that. Just take an Allen and regular old Allen key. And just cut notches into it and make a Torx out of it.
Well, we got an Allen key here. We got someone on the phone. We're going to go and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
It's Billy G, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Billy, what's happening?
So Billy Velvet!
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes today. It's like a bingo card. I got the first three categories. I did a bathroom in 95. I changed the color. I got the ultimate car that it was invincible. And I got this special tool in my box. This is great.
You know what? You're hitting 1,000, yeah. Or at least you're hitting 3, so that's good.
And give me the free space. I'm good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. So the car situation was, I had my 99 Blazer that I just sold, oddly enough, in October to two guys that were chasing me. They wanted to plow snow with it. So
yeah.
I gave it up with the – it only had 148,000, but – I got all the money, but that was my invincibility vehicle. In fact, when I leased another car during the period I still had the Blazer, the car I leased never saw snow, ice, never saw slush, never saw salt. So that's the invincibility Blazer was the 3/4 ton was the way to go.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's a good vehicle. One. But like, you felt it on the road, right? You felt that confidence factor, right?
Yeah, and when I put a new set of tires on it, the tires looked very aggressive standing still, but it rode so smooth.
You know, it's funny, Bill, that's what I did with the FJ. I put on these Goodyear ATX, I think they're ATX. It's kind of a truck tire, and it looks really blocky, and it looks like it'd be...
Yep.
But it's not. It's like on the highway, it's silent. They run, you know, nice and quiet.
Yeah.
Billy, what were the tires you had on the Blazer that were smooth?
They were Invictus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that's a good tire.
Yeah, and but I used to open up side streets with that truck. Sure, I mean, you know, everybody else would not attempt, and there I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
But with the 4.3 in it, and it ran, it was a beast.
Well, you know, Bill, I want to tie this in because we just found a car for Chris yesterday that would be right up his wheelhouse, and you know about it because I know you were involved because I got a phone call about it. It's a certain 63 Lincoln convertible.
Oh, yeah.
Suicide doors. You gotta, Chris, I'll send you some pictures. The car. Now, Bill, I got to tell you, after talking with our commonality, with Dougie, we talked to Dougie.
Yes.
He told me it was red, and I'm like, oh, beautiful. White top. Oh, beautiful. I said, white gut, right? No.
I know.
Black. And he said, no, Billy said it should have a white gut, too. I'm like, yeah, then you put the pepper on the mirror, and you go, it's cuisine. Yeah, you go cruise.
Even white or cream, you know what I mean? That's like
White would have been.
White is the cat's meow. Chris, it's gorgeous. A condominium, baby, on wheels for you.
The car is gorgeous. Bill, how long do you think that car is? Is it like 18 and a half feet?
You know what? I think they all measure in like the caddies at 225 inches. So
Well, that's wheelbase, though. That's not length.
No, that's length.
Oh, length. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Some quarter too is 225 inches.
Yeah. They all, you know, and it's amazing. It fits in the garage, I guess, and then you bring the door down on the back sail pillars. Right. I don't know.
Chris, the car's a convertible.
Yes.
Yes, you mentioned.
And it's original.
Yeah,
I will send you the picture.
I got to get rid of a certain Chrysler first.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's and the other thing, I'm driving back. I went out to the body shop to look at my car the other day, and I'm driving back. I said, let me take the back ways, and I'm driving down Jericho Turnpike. I'm out by the Wantagh Expressway, and on the side. I make my way into New Hyde Park. That was it. And on the side, I see a Fury 3.
Oh, sweet.
I mean, original sitting there. I was tempted to drive around and just see if it was for sale. I was thinking of Chris. I said, no wonder why he loves these boats. I mean,
Well, you know, when I was talking to Doug yesterday, I said, you know, those were the days where you'd pick up a car like that was original, non-molested, And you'd get it for like a couple hundred bucks because nobody wanted it, especially if it was a four-door. And that was the one that you'd go out with your friends to the clubs in or like, oh, take his car because it always ran right. It never died because it was never screwed with.
Yeah, exactly.
And they ran like sewing machines.
Yeah, and then if you back then you went to the driving with the gang, the trunk was big, you put.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But good show, and I just wanted to check in.
Thanks, Bill.
And we'll talk, all right, Ray?
Got it. You got it.
Take care, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
The thing that I used when I did the bathroom, when I took everything off, I used acetone back in 95. Yeah.
Acetone. Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I have a can of that sitting in the.
That's very common, yeah.
I went from a blue tile and I did white and a spray gun. I used a spray gun and I used a thing called PermaSeal.
Okay.
All right.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
All right.
How did it work, Billy? Did it work okay?
Oddly enough, the bathroom was the tile still holds up with the tub to this day because I'm waiting for the contractor to come. We're going to pull everything out and I'm going to redo it. Yeah.
Good.
But to this day, it's still good. All right.
Thanks for the tip,
Bill. Very cool.
Thanks for the report.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, here we are on the bathroom and hardware show today. But you know what? I will say people have, and I'll probably hear some more comments about this during the week, about the topicality of the show. But I will venture to say, if you go into any garage, shop, basement where there's guys, this is how the conversation it transpires. It goes from one thing to another, and some of them are off topic, but they come back, and there's always cross pollination of ideas. It's what we do.
Exactly. That's what I love about this show.
drives programmers crazy because they don't know how to.
Yes.
And when I have to write a freaking, I know you did it for years, but now when I have to write the description, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to write?
Well, it's funny because every time I wrote the description for the website, it was always, Ray did this, I did that.
Yeah.
That was it.
I tried to. Well, now what I do is as we're talking, when something happens, I actually write down bullet points. So when I get home and I have to do this, I'm like, because I say, what do we talk about? I don't remember. It's like, it's literally you walk out of this studio and your mind gets flushed. And it was flushed when we came in, but in a different way. Now it gets flushed. And you literally don't remember what you just said for an hour. So I write down the bullet points. So when I go home and I have to do that almost hours worth of, disseminating information, sending files, and I have a helping hand.
It's funny because at the time when I was sitting where you were, and you always used to yell at me because I didn't remember what we talked about.
Right.
Now you understand sitting in that chair.
Yes, I do.
It just sucks your brain dry.
It's very true.
But the funny thing was, you would have a 10-minute drive home. I would have an hour and a half drive home.
Right.
And I still didn't remember what we talked about.
You should have made notes like this. It really comes in handy. This has been my lifesaver by doing that.
I'm sure. Sitting in traffic on the Bell Parkway would have probably have been the perfect time to make notes.
Not a bad idea.
Since I wasn't driving.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. I was sitting in a parking lot, that's for sure.
Right.
So that has been my lament has been using my automotive knowledge to other applications.
Well, that's how you kicked off the show, and I'm glad you did because we've often talked about that. We the toolbox of information that we've all gained through our lives, I mean, I use it in all different, even in the shop, I've done stuff where, I'll pull out, something that isn't necessarily automotive to do an automotive job and, or a handmade tool. And, guys are like, hey, what do you got there? I stopped over at the shop in Limbrook the other day and they were trying to get the lugs off the flatbed. And they were using, Mike was using and Steve was using an inductor tool. But it was a new one, the one that's angled. And I said, hey, whose is that? And Mike said, I picked it up. And he knows because I brought mine to the shop in Oceanside and we used it there on a couple jobs and he saw it and said, hey, this is a great tool to have.
The inductor is a fantastic tool.
And you could use that on plumbing fixtures in your house. You could use it on stuck model caps. You could put a hot dog in it and make lunch. You can literally do almost anything with it. So,
yes.
But the funny thing is, like car guys, and I'm not knocking Steve because he's a great mechanic and a great at what he does, but I guess he didn't have time or didn't have the ability to read the directions on the thing, and it wasn't doing what he wanted it to do. So I looked at it and said, first of all, the coil shouldn't touch the metal. It should be right. in free air, and the coils themselves should not touch each other. They have to be in
yes.
free air. And that's why he was having trouble. So he just put it down and got the torch. He got the oxyacetylene, fired up a rosette tip, and he got the lugs off. But I said, you know, that's the thing. So that's how a tool gets a bad reputation when it's not used, you know, when you don't know the nuances of it. And, you know, he probably didn't have, maybe when they bought it, they didn't even get a book. Who knows? I don't know. But that tool, again, if you use it correctly, man, what you can do, you can work on fuel systems, anything. Because it's flameless heat. And it's...
Yeah.
Great.
It is. If there is one tool that has saved my bacon more times under a vehicle, it has been the inductor. And I will. I'm a big fan. I will praise that tool. Hallelujah.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Since we've had those guys on the show years ago, I'm going to see. I'm going to reach out and see if we can get them back on as a guest. Because it's another tool like the Power Probe that's a specialized tool. It's an expensive tool. But once yes. you have one... Or use one. If you use one, you're going to want one. If you have one, you're going to keep it. You're not going to lend it out, you know, because
no.
Unless it's, you know, unless you could hold the cord.
Right. Mine is in a secret place. Even I lose it.
Right. There you go. So I'll tell you what we're doing. Yeah. Go on. No, tell me about your secret place there.
Do we have time?
Well, we are getting to the end of the show. And what I want to do is, I don't know how the audio is going to come out, but I had to play with this. 2 weeks ago on the Plane and Traffic show, I spoke to you about this. John and Brian and I, you know, we do the late show. You know, we do that show for 3 hours.
Right.
And, nice chili dogs, Brian. You ret. Brian's eating lunch. I'm hungry. gotta eat with this guy. We ended up talking about food. We go, the after show used to be about music. And now it could be about toolage, but then a lot of times it goes into food. And we did the last 10 minutes on food, but the outro, and I want to play it for you now because this will be the faux outro to this show. You'll still do yours, but listen to this. This is how that show ended, and I think it was gold.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. So
well, this was 2 weeks ago, not this past week. Let's hopefully right. this will work.
All right, Ray, Johnny.
John, what do we say? What does Chris always say that you always say that he... That he adopted
don't
from
follow us home.
That's right.
If you know,
unless you got a ham sandwich,
or some Wawa coffee.
Got it.
Yeah, I go for some coffee right now.
If you got ring dings, you can be my friend.
And that's the if you got ring dings, you can be my friend. I thought that was phenomenal. So that's how we ended that show.
I love it.
And then Brian went upstairs and made this honking ham 12:30 at night, and he's got the oven going. So,
It's good to be young.
Yeah, right. Well, young, whatever. Yeah, but we're done here, Chris. So now you tell us what you the deal is. What's what are we saying when we get out of here?
Don't follow us home, and if you have any Homax white tile paint, you can be my friend.
Right.
Plus the ring dings, too.
Stay tuned for Thunder Road. Kim is in the studio in the house, and we'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll see you next week. 90.3 WHBC. See ya.
See ya, bye.
This show on